All right, our subject tonight is again David, as we see him through the Psalms. And so tonight I'd like to look at Psalm 25. And so let's read it, the 22 verses of it. To Thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in Thee I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for Thee will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. Make me to know Thy ways, O Lord. Teach me Thy paths. Lead me in Thy truth and teach me. For Thou art the God of my salvation. For Thee I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, Thy compassion and Thy loving kindness, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to Thy loving kindness, remember Thou me, for Thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore He instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice and teaches the humble His ways. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep His covenant and His testimonies. For Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. His soul will abide in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He will make them know His covenant. My eyes are continually towards the Lord, for He will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. Look upon my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Look upon my enemies, for they are many. They that hate me with a violent hatred, guard my soul and deliver me. Do not let me be ashamed, for I take refuge in Thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for Thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all of his trouble. Just a few words by introduction. This is another one of those psalms that is led by the different letters of the alphabet. Remember, like we had last week. And so I started reading this one because it was in the same vein and one of David's alphabetical psalms, you might say. And so that's kind of how I got here. But I'd like to just note, just for free, remember Phil Metzinger saying things were free? That means you listen to his whole teaching for money and then he gave you one free point. That isn't really it. He just threw something in good for free. Verse 22. Remember Israel, O God, redeem Israel, O God, out of all of his troubles. People think this was just added in to the psalm. And it may have been. David may have added it later. I don't know. But as I thought about that, I thought, you know, isn't that just the way we pray here? And Lord, send revival. You know, we can be praying about all kinds of things. And then we think to ourselves, and Lord, send revival. And I think that's a good thing to end a prayer with. And here David says, redeem Israel, O God, out of all of his troubles. Now the subject of tonight's message is David as a sinner. Now I cannot think of a more dreary subject than the subject of sin. And I'll make every effort not to weary you over much and go on too long. But sin and its decay is ever present among us. And if we are to grasp the good news of God's Word, we must look squarely at the great problem that faces all mankind. Now, the other day, I spent an evening and a few long moments, you might say, perusing photography, a, photo- a, a photography forum on the internet. Y'all know what a forum is? Mark doesn't. One of y'all that knows about it, explain it to Mark. And I go to this photography forum periodically. And I, the thread that I followed that day had as its subject matter the fate of all things. And the way you do it on this forum is someone starts a thread and they put the title to it, and everybody puts in pictures. And this evening it was the fate of all things. Now, as of yesterday, I checked it, forum members had posted more than 400 different images of abandoned old cars, abandoned and rusted tractors, decaying buildings, dilapidated furniture, dilapidated household appliances, boats and trains, all ruined and rusted. They were essentially images of collapse and ruin. Nature and time were slowly taking back what man had achieved in building. Thus the title, The Fate of All Things. And I'll just put my thumb down here. There was a whole lot of old buildings from Texas. I don't know what the deal was. It's an international forum, but there were buildings from courthouses in Texas and city halls and gas stations and barbecue places. Rotten old buildings. But the fate of all things. Now, as I briefly looked over the images, it came to me that the thread was misnamed. So I'm going to suggest something more accurate. The fate of all things human. As we look at society and the world around us, the careful observer will soon grasp that it takes a tremendous effort to keep things going. Not only do things we create suffer and fall into ruin, but the societies and institutions we create fall into chaos as well. Not only does the ground we cultivate produce thorns and thistles, but we fall to murdering each other if we do not take special care. I think of Afghanistan this very day. The United States of America has spent billions of dollars in 20 years, and the moment we leave, it falls into total, complete, murderous, raping, pillaging chaos. The fate of all things human. Oh, Lord, help those people. Genesis teaches us profound truths about why the fate of all things human is so dreary and tedious. Well, as Christians, we know the problem. The Scripture informs us as to why a weary fate awaits everything we create. Men wanted to live without reference to his Creator, and from there, all things fell unavoidably and inevitably into ruin. Mankind's fate was sealed. God sent an angel at that garden, and we were never to enter again. The book of Genesis informs us not only about early prehistory, but it tells us why things are as they are right now in our present day. The psalmist David was well aware of the scriptural truths about sin. He knew his own sinful nature. He knew that he must keep constant and vigilant watch over himself, lest his iniquity overtake him. I kept myself from my iniquity, David says in Psalm 18, verse 23. His prayer was, who can discern his errors? Acquit me, God. Acquit me, God, of hidden faults. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let not them rule over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, my rock and my redeemer. Psalm 19, verse 12 through 14. Keep thy servant from presumptuous sins. What God spoke to Cain in Genesis chapter 4 in many ways is spoken to David and to each of us as well. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you, but you must master it. David knew all this. Don't you just love the way Scripture speaks to us? The path of goodness and happiness and peace can be traveled only with our utmost care and attention. Christians deal with things as they are, not as they wish them to be. We would have everything concerning Christianity be all sweetness and light and feel-good experiences. But the reality is otherwise, and we know it. Set our feet on the path. Keep me. Now, David has a very robust teaching about sin and the human condition and our struggle with sin. Psalm 32, you write it down. Psalm 38, and of course Psalm 51 have much to teach us. But tonight we're just going to look briefly at Psalm 25. The psalm begins with David's sincere entreaty and pleading before God. David wants to know and experience the ways of God. Make me to know thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. For thee I wait all the day. I can nearly start singing. Steve put this psalm to music, I don't know, a lifetime ago? A lifetime ago. But this was David's prayer. Make me to know thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. That's verse 7 of Psalm 25. Just note here, David, at this point, worries about the sins of his youth. Now, we often... listen to what it says. Verse 7. Do not remember the sins of my youth... or my transgressions, according to thy loving kindness, remember thou me. For thy goodness' sake, O Lord, do not remember the sins of my youth or transgressions. Now, we often carry around with us failures of long standing. Sin embedded in us from our earliest years. That's why we pray for our young people. Psychologists and sociologists tell us this very thing. But what are we to do in the face of long-standing defeat at sin's hands? Psalm 25, verse 9, answers the question. God leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his ways. Here we have it. Personal instruction that is from God himself. Our only hope is personal instruction from God himself. God leads the humble in justice and teaches the humble his ways. Verse 8, he instructs sinners in the way. I can say with utter confidence, and y'all have no idea how often shaky I am up here about what I'm getting ready to say, but I can tell you with utter confidence. That any of the Christian victory I've experienced in life came only because of God's very personal dealings with me because of His grace. This is when I had victory. When it was personal and God touched me, opened my heart, and spoke to me. That's when I had victory. Lord, make me know Thy ways. He says in verse 4, no one teaches the way God teaches. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore He instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice. He teaches the humble His ways. Now those that know God's instruction have a wonderful path laid out before them. What's it say in the four spiritual laws? God has a wonderful plan for our lives. He does. If we get on His path, well, He does have a wonderful plan for our lives. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to keep His covenant and His testimonies. Would you be happy? Two paths lays before you, one of suffering and ruin and one of loving kindness and truth. David put his trust in God Himself. He knew God was good and kind, and he prayed accordingly. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore He instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice and teaches the humbles His ways. That's verse 8 through 10. Is this not a wonderful promise that David lays hold of? Good and upright is the Lord, therefore He instructs sinners in the way. It's the sick who need a physician, and it is the sinners that needs instruction. The only good thing that sin can teach us is humility before God. Our repeated failures can teach us to come to Him for personal teaching and instruction. He'll be our own private coach if we just but humble ourselves before Him and come to Him. Now, once we've come to Him, He'll deal carefully with us, but He'll give us victory. I have an older brother who's a swimming coach. Or he was. He retired the other day at 70 years old. Lord got him through it. But he said every once in a while a student would come to him and say, I want to be good. I want to be good at this. I want to win. And he would look them right in the eye and he says, then you're really in for it now. Because I'm going to give you all I've got. And God is faithful to instruct us if we will just come to Him. Now, David prays with urgency, so should we. He knew that his state was pitiful. Listen to what he says. O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Verse 11. David would say his immoral behavior was immense. I have really messed this up. Pardon my iniquity, for it is great. And iniquity is just immoral actions. And pardon my immoral actions, for it's great. I've done things I shouldn't do. And by the way, I don't think this is necessarily talking about Bathsheba. We have a whole psalm about that. This may be something completely different. David would say his immoral behavior was immense. He didn't minimize it or try to wave it off as unimportant. In fact, he confessed his sin, that it was ultimately and extremely an affront to God Himself. What's that famous line in Psalm 51? Against thee and thee only I have sinned and done what is evil in thy sight. That is an amazing statement. Our sin isn't so much what we've done to each other, although it's that. It's what we've done to God. We've said we don't want anything to do with your rules. Get out of my life. David recognized God as his only hope. Oh my God, in thee I trust, do not let me be ashamed. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for thee will be put to shame. Now, it says here that David waited upon God. He looked for God. We so cast around for help anywhere but God. What does going to God do? It puts us in... We owe him if he's helped us. The fallen human heart doesn't want anything to do with God. To wait on God is to put one's hope in him. And hope is the faith which looks clearly and fixedly into the future for what only God can give. That's what hope is. It says, all right, God, I'm going to wait for what you can give and what you can, only you can give, which is victory over sin. Notice the word shame. Let me not be ashamed. I shudder to think of what the judgment day shall be. Men will be ashamed on that day, and it will not because of the clothes they're wearing, their education or lack of it. It will not be because they had unpleasant jobs with little prestige. No, the shame will be sin. It will be sin that causes us embarrassment, distress, and mortification. On that great day, important day, shame and sin will go hand in hand. Who will fend off the shame of sin? Do you want to fend it off? Now, I want you to know I'm really concerned about shame. That's why it helps me, this psalm. He says, let me not be ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed. And I know there's much to be ashamed about. I know a man said that he didn't regret a single thing he'd ever done. That man was completely uninformed about his life. Shame is coming, and it'll come because of sin. Come to God. Humble yourself. Remember verse 2. Oh my God, in thee I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Now as we continue, it says verse 14. It's amazing, a shift of gear here in the middle of the psalm. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. Now, this is an amazing promise in the midst of a psalm whose subject is sin and sinners. God would be our friend in the midst of this veil of tear and woe. He would be our healer in the midst of sin's sickness and human corruption. Verse 18 says, consider my affliction and trouble and forgive all my sins. But remember, David said that the friendship of the Lord is with those who fear him. Has God taught you to look at sin for what it really is? Has God been your instructor and taught you his ways? Has he led you to repent of the sins of your youth and your transgressions, your present transgressions? Has God taught you to fear? If he has, you could know his friendship in this very present life. Now that is an amazing thing. God will befriend us sinners. Now at this point, let's go back to verse 1. To thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Now this is the very heart of Psalm 25. God lifts his heart, his soul, his essential self, his very life breath up to God. When men pray like this, when men say, Lord, I lift up my soul to thee, they are truly praying. When we are sick of soul, defeated in heart, lying and devastated in the dust, this is when we are truly praying. It is when we squarely look at our sin and know that our fate without Christ's forgiveness is only shame, collapse, and ruin. That's when we pray. Now, when we pray like this, joy is sure to follow. And Steve's song has a certain joy in it. I really like it. If we pray like this, joy is sure to follow. We will confess joyfully with David, good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. That is one of the most joyful truths. He leads the humble in the way that is right and teaches the humble his ways. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness. That's a different version. But nevertheless, it's true. What is a joyous future? It is something for those who keep covenant with God and keep his testimonies. Now, the scriptures are full of promises that our sins do not have to mean our ultimate ruin and destruction. Isaiah 43, verse 25 says, I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions. For my own name's sake, I will remember your sins no longer. Isaiah holds out a mighty promise that those who would take hold of it, God would not remember them any longer. What is that not wonderful? Jeremiah would say, or he would pray this, although our iniquities testify against us, O Lord, act for thy name's sake. Truly our apostasies have been many. We have sinned against thee. But act for thy own name's sake. Now the British poet William Cowper would teach us to sing, dear lying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. The victory over the dreadful curse has been won, and we will all ultimately be made complete. Is that not wonderful? For there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins where sinners plunge beneath the flood and they lose all their guilty stains. David's stains were going to be gone. Our stains will be gone. Glory. Now, I'm convinced that our struggles against sin will continue to our very last day. Did you hear what I just said? But there is coming a day when the ransomed church of God will be saved to sin no more. Hallelujah. Praise to our triune God for that fountain filled with blood drawn for Emmanuel's veins. Oh, what a cleansing flood. But until then, I'll tell you what we are to do. We're to pray like David prayed. Sin and iniquity, corruption and ruin. We are to pray against the fate of all things human. And we're to pray just like we sang a while ago, Lord, set our spirits free. from such things. All right, let's pray right now. Father, we're to pray. We pray for ourselves this day in this little fellowship. Unto Thee, O Lord, we lift up our souls. Do not let us be ashamed. Let not our enemies exalt over us. Father, we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.